This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Boom! Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show. I'm getting ready to talk about my top five college football games of the weekend that did not include Nebraska-Wisconsin, because that's always a Super Bowl every weekend, the Nebraska game, and my biggest upset alert game as well. While I was doing so, I see that Tennessee's playing UTEP. Alabama just played Mercer. Nothing like having three bye weeks if you're in the SEC. All right, let's start off with the Deion Sanders clip and what Coach Prime had to say about how he views recruiting high school kids.
Just say we get 25 high school players. How many is going to play that freshman year at the most? Let's say four or five, right? And so now you got 20 guys redshirted. So when you go through that spring with that 20 guys redshirted, how many are you going to retain after that spring? Or how many are going to jump in the portal on you? Let's just do it. If any one of you want to go statistically and try to calculate this, I already done it. So it's going to be how many?
Half.
Okay, why don't I just focus on 10? Guys that can – see, when we grab a freshman, we expect that guy to play. We're not looking at, hey, man, we can just redshirt you, develop you. No. We're looking for you to come in and play some football. I don't give a darn if it's a walk-on, if it's a cash Cleveland. We expect you to play. So our approach is somewhat different, heavily scrutinized, heavily criticized, but we know what we're doing. So if anybody ever did the homework and the statistics of these young men that people have a class that they say is the number one class in the nation, then five of those guys play or four of those guys play, then the rest go through the spring, then they jump in the portal. Give me those numbers. Don't give me the numbers of where you rank nationally recruiting, because it's like an NFL team. You always say, who won the draft? Then the team gets killed all year. You don't say nothing else about it. Who won the draft last year in the NFL? Nobody care right now, right? Exactly. You see what I'm saying?
So here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I want you to know that I have two major takeaways. One, Jake and I are not cash cleavers. Just want to clear that up for everybody out there. Number two, I'm not knocking with Deion Sanders. I would not personally take this approach. Through 2 years, his approach seems to be working better than Matt Rule's, so to speak. And I'm not trying to knock Matt Rule here on a Friday before the Wisconsin game when I think we're going to get bowl eligible. I simply had not heard him talk out loud about this yet and explain why he doesn't look at high school kids. I kind of had an idea, like he doesn't really want to develop kids. He wants kids to show up and be ready to go. I kind of had that idea, but I'd never heard him actually talk about it. Now, maybe he had, but I hadn't heard it, so there it is. Basically, he doesn't want to develop. He wants you to show up and be ready to go. Now, my question is this. It's worked better through 2 years, okay, than some of the other models, including what Matt Rule's trying to do here. But my question is, what happens next year when Shadur leaves and Travis leaves? And you bring in 89 more transfer players, which, by the way, is what he's done through 2 years. What's going to happen? How does this work long term? All I know is you can criticize what's going on with Matt Rule so far, which I've voiced my opinion, trust me. But he's trying to build something sustainable. Which one of these is more sustainable? Look at Florida State. They built through the transfer portal. They went undefeated. Now they're basically defeated with one win, and they probably ain't going to win again. Too much volatility. I'm curious to see how the long-term model of Matt Rule works out year three, year four, year five versus Deion when he's going through his 190,000th player. And by the way, the players that he walked in the door with, Shadur and Travis Hunter, are gone. Congrats to them on a great year so far. I've talked about them to the point where people get upset with me that I talk about Colorado so much, but I just hadn't heard him say anything, and I want to see how this looks 2 years from now. All right, let's talk about I just want to dive into the devaluation of the regular season in college football, but that is a topic for another day. So let's talk about the devaluation of conference freaking championship games. Did you ever envision that that would happen? By the way, it's been established. Black Friday. Black Friday is when it's okay to start doing Christmas stuff. Now, I want to know, are you folks out there saying, are you walking the walk? Are you just talking the talk? Because I will admit it's going to be Wednesday of next week for my family because I've been outnumbered again, but that's okay. That's all right. The Huskers play on Friday. I don't get to get bumped to Saturday, but it's all good. I'm going to stare at that weird blow-up Garfield kitten cat thing as I go home again. But it's okay. It's actually kind of cute. But let's listen to Lane Kiffin. He's talking about the devaluation of conference championship games and why coaches may not even want to play in it. And if you think about it, Like if Alabama plays Texas, I talked about this earlier this week. Let's say Alabama loses. They would have three losses. Are they then out of the playoff? How does that work? They could have sat at home and gotten in. All right. Also, even if they get in, now you didn't have a bye week that everybody else had. Now you might have injured a player. Now you're beat up. Let's just listen to what Mr. Lane Kiffin had to say.
Here's Lane at his press conference yesterday talking about the SEC championship game.
You know, it's changed. The conference championship, you know, could have a big impact both ways for people. So I've talked to other coaches, so I'll just kind of give you the feeling from some other coaches that, you know, they don't want to be in it. And, you know, the risk to get a bye, the reward to get a bye versus the risk to get knocked out completely. I mean, that's a really big risk just to get a bye. So I think it's ended up being a very unique situation of all, you know, postseason sports, the way that system set up there and how you could go to that and get knocked out. And if you don't go, you're in.
Questions?
I'm not a big gambler, but that's the kind of one of them Vegas, you know, like poker table thing. Like, that's all in. And you're going all in the best conference in football. So you got to play somebody great too.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. And it's not just if you're in or you're out. It's if you are still in and you lose everything I just mentioned. Now you didn't have a bye week. Of course, the SEC already has three bye weeks, if you know what I'm talking about. Why they need a fourth? But I digress. My point is now you're beat up. Now maybe somebody got hurt. Conference championship games, it's going to change. Is Josh Pate that clip ready? We're going to play a clip from Josh Pate that I've been talking about for a long time. And it might happen sooner than I thought. I thought we had 3, 4, 5 years. It may happen sooner than later. Because of what Lane Kiffin's saying. By the way, I've never heard him actually try to be guarded with his words. That was weird for me. It's like he was trying to like be so careful. I'm not used to that from him, but I loved. He's the one coach that will speak about it. One day, the Big Ten and SEC are going to say, see you later, sayonara, nice to know you. They're going to break off, do their own thing. It's going to turn into the AFC, NFC with divisions, and the divisions leading to the SEC champ. Let's call it the AFC, playing the Big Ten, the NFC champ in a Super Bowl one day. And if you think I'm crazy, listen to what Josh Pate has to say.
To maintain the sanctity and value of your conference championship game, I think in the future, the SEC and the Big Ten will both have built-in conference tournaments, maybe semifinal and final, or quarterfinal, semifinal, final, no different than the AFC and the NFC look at the end of the NFL season. And then I pump out my champion, and you pump out your champion, and then we have a playoff, or maybe that format is baked into the playoff structure. And those games happen at the neutral sites that the playoff games would already happen at. I'm just telling you, the alternative is non-negotiable. They cannot get rid of those conference championship games. They don't want to. They couldn't if they did want to. So that's off the table. So you got one choice and one choice only. And that is make sure people care about winning the conference title. And no one's talking about the risk not being worth it.
So they can't get rid of the conference championship games because there's millions and millions of dollars tied up in those things. This is going to be talked about way more in the offseason as December hits, as well as the playoffs going on, as the conference championship games are going on. But college football is not even close to being done change. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the top five, in my opinion anyways, college football games of the weekend. We're going to start off with Indiana versus Ohio State. Ohio State, 11.5-point favorite. Indiana, amazing turnaround. We all know it. All right. Previous four seasons, they were 9-27 overall. They've won more games this year, 10-0, than they had in the previous four seasons combined. All right, they were 3-24 in the Big Ten. They're 6-0 so far this year in the Big Ten. They have the largest points per game margin. They beat their opponents by more points than anybody else in the country at 30-plus points per game. Ole Miss, number two, 27.8. Ohio State, 27.5. The Notre Dame and Texas follow suit. All right, when you start to compare these teams, Indiana and Ohio State. All right, Ohio State's offense, they score 38 points per game. Indiana gives up 14 points. Ohio State, 451 yards of offense a game. Indiana, almost 200 less yards. They're actually better on defense than most people realize. The Hoosier daddies, 255.5 yards per game is what they give up. Ohio State, known for big plays, 49 plays of 20-plus yards or more, and they score 97% of the time when they get into the red zone. You look at Indiana's offense here just a smidge. They're averaging 44 points per game. Ohio State's defense only giving up 10, number one in the country. Although Oregon had something to say about that a few weeks back. I'm curious to see what happens if those two teams play again. Indiana averaging 453 total yards per game. Ohio State giving up less than 200 yards, less than that, 250.8. All right. The quarterback play has been huge. Will Howard was a gigantic question mark coming into the season for Ohio State. He's completing 73% of his passes and has almost a 5-to-1 touchdown to INT ratio. Curtis Rourke, the number two rated passer in America, number one of the Big Ten, completing 72% of his passes. His touchdown to INT ratio is greater than 5-to-1. 21 touchdown passes to 4 INTs. I'm going to take Ohio State to win, but I'm going to take Indiana to cover. Spread's 10.5. I think Indiana can keep it within a touchdown. I am looking forward to that game. Next up, the two most dangerous teams in America, Ole Miss and, yes, ladies and gentlemen, Florida, who's fighting for a bowl game. If we just went purely based on best teams, regardless of record, I'd have Florida in the top 25, which is asinine to say because they were god-awful to start the season. But they're playing ball. They're playing well. All right, Ole Miss, a couple of interesting stats. Second in the country in plays of 20-plus yards. Florida, 125th defensively in giving up plays of 20-plus yards or more. All right, big plays is going to be the difference here. Ole Miss does lead the nation in sacks. I've got Ole Miss beating Florida in a dogfight. All right, let's go on to Oklahoma, Alabama. Oklahoma's offense, 91st in the country. Alabama's defense has actually vastly improved since earlier in the year. They're 10th in America now. I wonder if there's an identity found for Bama at this point. If so, they're very dangerous. If not, they're just as unreliable as they've been all year when they look like the best team in America and then a team that's still trying to figure themselves out in the middle of spring ball. Two of the top five brands in the entire country. Bama's great at forcing turnovers. Oklahoma does have a good defense, number 18 rush defense in the country. Alabama's strength is their rush offense with Jalen Milroe, strength versus strength. All right, I'm going to get through my last couple picks real quick. I'm going to take, all right, Alabama. I'm going to take them with the spread too. BYU and Arizona State in a Big 12 game? What the? BYU, I think they've run out of gas. I'm taking Arizona State, who's ranked 21st in the country, to beat the number 14 team in the country, BYU. Army, undefeated no longer after this Saturday. Notre Dame, beating up on them Service Academy teams. I got them winning, and watch Kansas and Colorado, ladies and gentlemen. That's my upset game to watch. I'm actually rooting for Colorado to get in. No other Big 12 team deserves to even be watched in this thing. Colorado makes it interesting. Kansas, though, they're playing like a top 25 team despite being 4-6. Listen to this. 2 weeks ago, beat undefeated Iowa State at the time. Last week, beat undefeated BYU in Provo. Watch out for this game. I got Kansas winning, but my upset meter is at a 9.5 out of 10. Until next time, go Big Red Noise. Remember to throw the bug.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.